Think Realty Nation, it's Avi Golhar. Welcome to the Think Realty Podcast. Super excited that you can join us today and devote and invest a little bit of your time into your financial future. So really excited to make that happen and to deliver you amazing information today. It's going to be a fun show. We're first talking about some of the counties where buying a foreclosure is the most abundant. We're also going to connect with my good friend Glenn Stromberg of Stromberg Investment Group to talk about mobile home parks and manufactured homes and why maybe you should consider investing in them. You know, there's so many people running around saying single family flipping, single family homes and multifamily. Don't forget about mobile home parks. They're awesome. We'll find out why. We're also looking at vacation rental investment. What makes a good vacation rental investment and the top five cities that you want to look at and how much you can potentially make in each city with vacation rentals. It's going to be an awesome show. And we're also talking about some of the most expensive cities in the world to live in. So if you have a little bit of moolah and you don't want to donate to my Ferrari fund, you might want to check out Hong Kong and some other types of cities, some of the other cities around the world that we'll talk about to visit, invest in, and maybe have a little fun. All right, that being said, this podcast is brought to you by Renter's Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest growing, and highest reviewed property management companies in America. Check them out, go to renterswarehouse.com. Now, let's go ahead and get started with the counties with the most abundant foreclosure buying opportunities for investors that are looking at finding more ways to buy inventory and find inventory. You know, foreclosures isn't such a bad idea. I mean, quite frankly, it's where I started. I like the foreclosure arena. I like helping homeowners out of distressed situations and leaving a positive impact on their lives. Here's some interesting information from Adam Data Solutions. And if you haven't checked out Adam Data Solutions, you're really missing out on the game here. They have tremendous data that you can use and analyze to your benefit to identify cities and to identify trends that could really make some good money for you. So here's some information. There were a total of 624,753 properties in the United States that received a foreclosure filing in 2018. And of those, roughly about 230,000 of them were repossessed by a lender. That's according, again, to Adam Data Solutions. While bank repossessions, again, those are called REOs, real estate owned, decreased 21% from 2017 and were down 78% from a peak roughly about 1 million in 2010 to the lowest levels far back as the data is available to 2006. There are some counties across the U.S. that are still ripe for picking. You want a list? Here we go. This is exactly what you need right now. Number one, counties that stick out amongst the weeds, Cook County, Illinois, and that's in the Chicago metropolitan area. We're looking also at Cuyahoga County, Ohio. I can never pronounce any cities in Ohio because I'm a Michigan guy. So Cuyahoga County, Ohio, Wayne County, Michigan. There we go. I know Wayne County, Detroit right there. Roughly about 2,500 REOs in Wayne County, Los Angeles, California, that's also Maricopa County, 2,400 REOs, Miami-Dade County, 2,459 REOs. And again, there are many more in the top 10. So you want to learn more about this, you definitely want to check out. The link to the story is also going to be in thinkrealty.com or at thinkrealty.com. So check it out. Again, use this data to your benefit. It's here to support your investing efforts and pay attention to when it means foreclosure rates are starting to increase. That may just mean some good buying opportunity for you. All right, let's get to the show. I'm really excited to make this happen. My good friend Glenn Stromberg is with us, and he's from Stromberg Investment Group. We're talking about mobile homes, about manufactured housing, and why he chose this specific niche. He's an individual that's done not 100 deals. Oh, no. He's also not an individual that's done, 500 deals. He's done thousands of deals in mobile home parks and manufactured homes across the country. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Abby, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be on with you.
You got it. Likewise. Let's talk, man. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do. Give me some background. We'll go off the deep end and do some deep dives.
Yeah. Like you said, why did I choose manufactured houses?
Yep.
Basically, I have been in the manufactured housing business for over 30 years. I used to say that I look too young, but I looked in the mirror today, so I know that's not true. But and let me break it out for your listeners because people get this confused. There are mobile home parks. I have owned mobile home parks in the past. Okay. Yep. Great investment. It's a bunch of homes in one area, and it's a great investment. I love them. Okay. That is not my current business model. My current business model is I primarily buy double wide manufactured homes on land. They're real estate, depending on the state. They either come with a deed of trust or a mortgage, and they're real estate. We buy the home, we buy the land, yep, fix them up. And we have a full-time property management department. We rent every home that we buy out. We keep half of them for us, and we turnkey the other half to our investors.
So what I want to know is where the opportunity is in manufactured homes, because there are a lot of investors that are saying, well, Glenn, I mean, I can buy single family, and that's starting to, I mean, we're seeing prices cooling off across the country here. We're also now seeing the transition from single family investors. Now they all of a sudden want to become multifamily investors. And so that's kind of interesting. Why manufactured homes? What's the real big yield difference or opportunity difference between, say, single family, multifamily, and then, of course, what you're doing in manufactured homes?
I mean, I always like to say manufactured homes on land is the best kept secret in real estate investing. My margins, I'm in five mastermind groups with real estate investors all over the country, and my returns are higher than theirs. It's usually the manufactured homes on land are normally half the money, and in a lot of cases up to double the cash flow. So, and the reason that is just when you say the word mobile home, manufactured home, most people think of a single wide old metal looking house with tires on the roof, and people have no idea how well they're built these days. Most of the double wides I buy are 1500 to 2200 square feet. I always tell the story because it's true. My dad was a mason contractor and a builder up in the Chicago area. He came to look at 15 of my properties and he went, wow, these are built better than a lot of the track houses in Chicago.
Right.
And they really are. So people just don't know about them. Your listeners, there's a tremendous opportunity out there. I like it because there's not much competition. So
yeah, right. I mean, you know, you're winning and I feel like I'm losing the game because I'm not paying attention to manufactured housing. I mean, when I think about manufactured housing, I think about a demographic of tenants or demographic that I just don't want to deal with. And sometimes they can be really hard to negotiate with and just handle. Help me understand who the demographic is when they're renting these manufactured homes and why it makes sense to take a look at this specific niche versus, can you maybe compare it to a single family rental or a single family flip, for example?
In what you just said, in a mobile home park, those are the, you better have good property management for that.
Okay? Yeah, that's right.
You're gonna deal with a lot of people. Okay, you know, we always like to say affectionately, all God's children there. Okay, so it's a tougher management process. Okay,
yeah,
the homes that we buy, and I'll use the Dallas Fort Worth area because we're in Texas, North and South Carolina. That's where we buy properties. In the Dallas Fort Worth area, most of our properties are 30 to 45 minutes from downtown Dallas or downtown Fort Worth. You can draw a circle around the Dallas Fort Worth Metroplex. That's where our properties are. They're on an acre tract of land. The good thing about them is that they're in better school districts. The suburbs usually have better school districts than the Dallas Fort Worth school districts. They get an acre of land versus zero lot line houses. They get a lot more square footage for the money. So, no, we'll get people with six-figure incomes that rent from us. I mean, we get really good quality tenants, good quality people, and give them a very, very affordable, nice lifestyle.
Gotcha. Now, I'm 100% on board now with the idea that I should be taking a look at manufactured housing as a potential investment option. Help me understand the value. My buy price on average, and again, I mean, that's such a variable number, right? Wherever you are in the country. But of the deals that you're doing, what's a typical buy? What's a typical, say, renovation? What should I expect in rent? What's my usual kind of average yield?
Yeah, like, okay, and I'll use the Dallas-Fort Worth as an example.
Okay.
Probably our average all-in price right now, which is acquisition plus rehab, is probably about $80,000. Okay. That's probably, that's typical to buy it, fix it up. We put new appliances in it, new carpet, new paint, new everything. We make it look like new. Okay. New air conditioner, so forth. That house will normally rent for $1,200 to $1,300 a month here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Hold on. Hold the phone. What? No way. I mean, I'm lucky to get that even on a single family. Glenn, all right, we're going to have an offline conversation about this, because this sounds like an incredible investment opportunity. I mean, you talk about the 2% rule, right? This nearly hits it. And just to kind of clarify what that 2% rule is, it's a rule of thumb that real estate investors made up to say, okay, if your all-in price is $100,000, or in this case, $80,000, then the rent that you're effectively going to charge your tenant should be 2% of your all-in price. So in this case, 2% of $80,000. So let's see, divide by zero, you kind of carry the one, you add a couple hundred, and you get $1,600. What Glenn is saying, and most likely right now, that's not the case. You're not going to get your 2%. You're really looking at maybe 1%, okay? That's if you're lucky in some cities. Like Atlanta, forget about it. Not going to happen. But what Glenn is saying is his all-in price, the acquisition plus the renovation, is $80,000 on average, and he's renting for $1,200 to $1,300 a month. That's like a 1.8% rule, right? So you can your debt service, you're covering that. Your tenants are happy. Help me understand how then you break that down. So you have this money coming in. You got the $1,200 to $1,300 a month coming in. Do you use property management? Is there a specific type of loan that you get? Because there are a lot of banks sometimes that won't lend your $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 purchases. Help me break that down a little further.
I haven't used a bank in 15 years. I have all private investors. We've got private investors lined up for our properties. You know, we create win-win joint ventures for our investors. And so after the debt service, after taxes, insurance, we property manage everything in-house, whether we keep it or turnkey it. We do the property management. We have a full-time property management department. And so, but usually that's going to give us somewhere in the vicinity after everything's paid, you know, $450 to $500 to $550 a month cash flow plus. So that's going to be, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood.
All right, I'm raising my hand. I'm all in, right? I'm in. Like, I'm going to call you. I'm going to say, all right, here's a check. Let's do this. So I'm sitting here like beating my head sometimes against a brick wall, wondering where I'm going to find deals. And we should have met earlier, really. I think that's the name of the game. I don't know why this didn't happen, but I'm glad we're friends now. And I'm going to be texting you. I'm going to be saying, Glenn, and this is going to start happening at 2 o'clock in the morning. Just going to let you know. All right, let's talk about trends and markets. You know, it's really easy to see today that's tough to find a deal. And it's only getting harder, especially in markets like your primary markets. You take a look at Dallas, you take a look at Atlanta, Chicago, LA, Seattle, New York, these major metropolitan areas. It's really tough to find deals unless you go super niched. For example, your tax liens, probate records, these kind of areas, these kind of niched ways of finding deals, you really have to dig into, or you have a pretty sizable budget, or you have wholesalers that are always looking for you and you have really trained real estate agents to help you out. Manufactured homes, clear winner across the board. Glenn, help me understand, what trends are you looking at? What markets are you favoring right now for manufactured homes and where you're investing?
Well, the reason we went to North and South Carolina is because it's the highest per capita of people living in manufactured homes in the country.
Yeah.
Almost one out of five families live in manufactured homes in North and South Carolina. So plus in one of my mastermind groups, the real estate broker that we use, she was out there, and it was just a seamless transaction to go out there. And yeah, we're buying probably for every five homes we buy out there, we're buying one in Texas right now.
All right, Texas. I'm a huge
a good market.
Fan of
Mostly
Texas.
The southern states are very good for what we do.
Yeah.
And once again, there's not as much competition. But like you said, it's been a crazy seller's market here. It's been 10 years of it. And I'm certainly expecting, you know, some kind of a reset to happen here shortly.
Let's talk about the reset. I'm glad you brought that up. The reset, the big black swan, the market crash. I'm really like, I see all the time, these major news networks, they'll continuously, they'll just keep bashing housing, right? They'll say, well, the appreciation rate is half of what it was last year, and therefore we're seeing a 50% decline. And no, that's not going to happen. But, Glenn, what do you think?
Well, what I think is this, okay, and I'll use 2008 as an example because I was in it in 2008.
Well, hold on, sorry. What happened in 2008? I don't even know what happened in 2008. Remember, I have amnesia. I'm the investor that forgets everything, right? Like, come on now. 2008?
It got tough in 2008, okay? the good side of it is that people forget when a down market hits, the foreclosures stack up and there's way more opportunities. You can buy houses cheaper during a down market. So, there's some advantages to a down market too when you're doing business right. Now, my model is, and my attitude is this: I want to buy cash flowing assets. Whether the market goes up or down, you know, if people can't buy, they're going to rent. I've always heard it said that people are going to do two things: they're going to eat, and number two, they're going to have a roof over their head. And we've got one of the most affordable houses, so I'm not worried about any downturn. But
I think also today people will also pay for Netflix. You know, so I think I don't know what order that happens in right now, but maybe it's going to be like Hulu, Netflix, and then Disney just acquired 17th Century Fox. 21st Century Fox, not 17th Century Fox. 17th Street is a street that I used to live on. So 21st Century Fox. So that's going to be its own thing. So I think people will first not let go of their digital media subscriptions. Okay, then they'll focus on food, and then it's going to be the housing. I don't know. That's just what I think.
They'll be the top two. Yeah,
So it's a smart... what you're doing is really smart, and you've proven a model that works, and you're seeing some amazing results. When you're looking at ROI and you're partnering with investors, what does that ROI look like? Is it a 15%, 12%, 20%? You give me a range. Help me kind of qualify it.
History shows they're going to make 12 to 16%. Now, we just had a really strong upcycle market. Properties that I bought in 2012, 2013, A lot of them doubled in the last 6 years. Okay, they've doubled. So we had stronger. A lot of our investors made 25 to 34%, but that's rare. That's not going to happen. That only happens in a really hyper upsale, you know, a high appreciation market, which we just went through.
Yeah.
But history, they're going to make 12 to 16%. That's what our target is.
That's fair. I think that's great. You know, for anybody that's in the single family realm, look at manufactured homes. Understand the market. Get in touch with Glenn. I'll offer his contact information, or he'll offer his contact information in just a second. If there's one thing that we should be focused on in 2019, it's understanding other asset classes that we can put our money into. And it's what Glenn just said. Cash flow is king, and cash flow is also queen, right? It's just kind of like 1-2 right there. You need this information in your life. So continue to listen, of course, to the Think Realty podcast. And Glenn, let's go ahead and do that now. What's your contact information? What's the best way that investors that want to learn more about manufactured homes, how can they get out, reach out to you? How can they get to you?
Yeah, Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, at StrombergInvestmentGroup.com.
Glenn, okay, so. two N, so Glenn at StrombergInvestmentGroup.com. And so, Glenn, I know we pre-agreed.
Feel free to text me, call me too. I don't mind. 817-966-1258 is my cell phone.
Awesome. And I know you and I pre-agreed before we did this not to talk about that one thing that we said we weren't going to talk about, but I have to spill the beans on this. And it's the time machine that we're building so that we can go back in 2012, right? And go buy all these manufactured homes so we can see the 37% gains that you just, I think you said 27%, but you know what? I'm going to inflate it. Let's go to 37% gains that you can see on manufactured homes. Totally kidding. But listen, it's a great asset class. I appreciate what you're doing in this specific space because it proves that you don't have to focus on single family rentals or new construction, flipping, or even multifamily. You can find a niche, carve it out for yourself, really do a deep dive, and you'll see some amazing results, just like my friend Glenn has. Glenn, thanks so much for joining me on the Think Realty podcast. Super happy to have you, and we'll definitely have you again. Get in touch with Glenn at glenn@strombergInvestmentGroup.com. Glenn, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
You got it, man. stay tuned. We have two more segments, more fun stuff. We're talking about the business and the top cities for vacation rental investments. And of course, some of the most expensive cities in the world. Got Hong Kong topping the list. Want to find out what other city you want to play in? Stay tuned. It's all coming up right here on Think Realty Podcast. What an awesome interview with my good friend Glenn Stromberg from Stromberg Investment Group. I learned a lot. I mean, heck, there's so many opportunities out there. You just have to flush out which ones make sense. Got single family. I love multifamily. And now manufactured housing. Oh, yeah. Totally winning. Super huge fan. All right, this segment is brought to you by Narada Real Estate Investments, your premier source for cash flow investment property. Check them out. Visit www.turnkeyrentalinvestments.com. So, let's talk about the five best cities for vacation rental investing. There have been many investors doing so well with Airbnb, with VRBOs, and all of these things. The real question is, if you want the most bang for your buck, where do you go? The five cities. Here they are. In order, ranked. We got you. Number one, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. You know Dolly. That's right. Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Earning a vacation rental score of 98.4 out of 100. Now, rented.com estimates that vacation rentals in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee will earn about $43,500 every single year. So let's qualify that for a second. Let's run some numbers. If you look at the median sales price for homes in that area, in Pigeon Forge, you'll find that a quick Google search gives you about $181,200. Simple math and a division gives you a 24% ROI, and that's a gross ROI on your money. Not too shabby for a vacation rental. But I have a sneaking suspicion that you're probably going to be doing better than that, especially if you're renting your property out on Airbnb. I'm a huge fan of this entire new movement toward Airbnb and your overnight kind of nightly rates on vacation rentals. It works, it makes sense, and it is the highest and best use of a rental property, sometimes even, while you're finding that long-term tenant. So it's a great exit strategy. Just keep in mind though, just a pro tip, when you're buying property, and if you wanna make it a vacation rental, don't assume that Airbnb will always be there. Don't assume that's going to be your go-to exit strategy. Make sure the numbers also work for, guess what? Your long-term tenant and your long-term runner. Okay, that's city number one. Number two on the map is Gatlinburg, Tennessee, earning a vacation rental score of 93.9 out of 100. How much will you make in Gatlinburg, Tennessee? $45,000 a year. Median home sales price in Gatlinburg, $166,000. Panama City Beach, Florida comes in at a number three, one of my favorite cities to visit, by the way. That beach, awesome, so much fun. Vacation score, 90.5 out of 100. And guess how much you'll earn every year? Significant drop from Gatlinburg, about $20,000 every single year. Number four, Killington, Vermont. Score, 87.6 out of 100. How much will you make every year? About $39,000 per year. Coming in at number five, Palm Coast, Florida. Score, 86.9 out of 100. How much will you make? Roughly about $33,000 per year. Just remember to buy right. What do they always say about real estate investing? Rule number one, location, 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 right? Absolutely. Well, that you can prove. We got all the statistics to prove that. Number two, you make your money when you fill in the blank, buy. That's right. You want to make sure that you're always buying right. It doesn't matter if it's a hot market. It doesn't matter if it's a cold market in your area. Be smart. Be diligent. Heads up. There's no such thing as an eyes wide shut investment philosophy. So check out these five cities. You can learn more about it at thinkrealty.com. The author of this article was Bobby Birch. So thank you so much for contributing. And of course, the date of that article is March 30th. You want to check it out? Head on over to thinkrealty.com. Now we're switching gears. Let's talk about the most expensive cities in the whole wide world. You're making $1 million a month with real estate, aren't you? Probably not. It's okay. Believe me, I feel like I'm the only one doing that. I'm just joking. I'm not making $1 million a year or $1 million a month in my real estate investing portfolio. Believe me, I have both my producers looking at me like, are you sure? All right, so if you have a little bit of money to play with and you want to go to these cities, the top 10 cities, here's what we got. All right, reverse order. Number 10, Paris. How much is it going to cost you to buy a house there? $625,000. Number 9, Beijing, China. I can't speak the language, but I heard it's a lot of fun. Coming in at $630,000 to buy a place. London, the UK. I've been working on my London accent, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But you know what? If you meet me at a Think Realty conference, and if we have a chance to connect and get to know each other, I might just show you a couple accents that I have. A lot of fun. So that's number 8. Number 7, New York City, New York, coming in at $675,000 to buy a house. Los Angeles, California, LAX. Oh, the traffic. I love the traffic of LA. I'm totally kidding, by the way. If you want to buy a place in LA, it's going to be about $680,000. Shenzhen. You want to guess what that price point's going to be? Yep, that's right, about 680. Vancouver's coming in number 4 at 815. My wife is from Vancouver, and I can tell you 110%, it is really expensive in Vancouver. And she wants like a house or two or three. She wants vacation rentals in Vancouver. I'm like, I think that's a great idea, but $815,000 for a house? Whew, I'm not so sure. Shanghai coming in at number 3. Average price, $872. Singapore, $874. Singapore is number 2. And Singapore has some very interesting laws. You're not allowed to spit on the roads. You're not allowed to chew gum. So be very careful. You might just get arrested in Singapore for doing that naughty, unethical behavior. Cleanliness is a part of their society and part of their culture. So make sure that when you visit, be clean. Number 1 is Hong Kong. Hong Kong is absolutely the most expensive city to live in. Now, it's interesting, just a little pro tip here before we have to close out the show. If you want to make some money in these cities, an idea is to partner with some home sellers, with some homeowners, and say, why not we divide the profits of doing a vacation rental, an international vacation rental, for your home? You know, there are a lot of mentors of mine that used to do that in Spain and Ibiza and all these exotic places. And whenever they visited, they used to stay there. So a quick little pro tip, partner with homeowners and you might just catch yourself making a little more money. So use that. That being said, it's been a fun show. We learned a lot about manufactured housing, thanks to my good friend Glenn Stromberg, who chimed in. We had a great session with him, a great interview. When I get in touch, again, email him. You can email him at glenn@strombergsinvestmentgroup.com. We also talked about the most expensive cities and, of course, vacation rentals and what you need to do to stay afloat and, of course, make money. So if you have any questions for me, get in touch. Go to thinkrealty.com. Ask your question. I'm all over social at Abhi Golhar. So I love answering questions and having conversations about investing strategies and how we can win together and how I can help you win even more one-on-one. Reach out any way that you would like. That being said, it's been so much fun. Thank you so much for joining me on this Think Realty podcast. And just so you know, this podcast is sponsored by Renter's Warehouse, brought to you by my good friends at Renter's Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest growing, and highest reviewed property management companies in America. Think Realty Nation, that's a wrap. That's the show. Got any questions? Get in touch. And as always, happy investing.